Amen. Let's lift up our hands and go ahead and worship God. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you, Jesus. Come on, I think that's appropriate to do for a few moments. Just go ahead and lift up your voice and your hearts to the one and only. Hallelujah, God, you're awesome. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. Amen. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn open to the book of Judges, chapter number 15. Amen. Thankful for what God did this morning. Amen. For those that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I want to tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same this morning, tonight, and tomorrow morning. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can have it tonight. Amen. There's good news. Hallelujah. In the house of God. Amen. I want to say thank you to Pastor Sutton and their family. Amen. For the invitation to come. Amen. We feel so blessed every time we get the opportunity to come here. This is a wonderful church. I think that should have gotten a lot more amens than this is a great church. It really is. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of my home church. Amen. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, that's good and that can be bad too. But I'll tell you what, it all works out to a move of God. Amen. Good to have my wife with me here. And I am a better preacher now that she's there. I take her notes. And you thought you had it bad, man. I had her dad making sure we had somebody with us all the time. It was usually her brother. And that's definitely a credible witness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Incredulous. Hallelujah. Judges 15 and 14. Let's go to the word of the Lord and let's just dig into this here tonight. I'm going to give you what I feel like God has laid on my heart very heavily. And hope that God works through this. Amen. Judges 15 and 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off of his hands. And he found a new jawbone of a donkey, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of a donkey have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand. And he called that place Ramath-Lehi, and he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakor, which is in Lehi, unto this day. The Bible lets us know that he took this jawbone, slew the enemy, and then he threw it aside and said, Lord, I'm thirsty. And the Bible says that God clave a hollow place that was in the jawbone, and water came out. And I want to preach to us for a few moments on this subject, when the weapon becomes the well. When the weapon becomes the well. Why don't you set your Bibles down one more time? Let's lift up our hearts, lift up our hands, and let's pray, God, speak to us here tonight. Help me, Lord, to teach your words, preach your word. Amen. Give us a heart to hear. Amen. Amen. Ears to hear and a heart to respond to your word in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him it's good to see you. And you may be seated. Amen. When the weapon becomes the well. The story of Samson is one of the most unique and tragic stories in the entire Bible. Samson was one of three men in the Bible that had their births announced by an angel. One was John the Baptist, the other was Jesus Christ, and finally, there was Samson. For most of us, amen, I will give us a little hope that most of the important men and women in the Bible came from humble beginnings. They didn't have much fanfare. There wasn't much of an announcement. They just kind of showed up and God used them. Amen. But here was Samson. His birth was announced by an angel. Samson was born with a specific purpose from heaven. And can I just tell somebody here tonight that you may not have had an angel announce your birth aside from your mother. Amen. But that does not mean that God does not have a purpose for your life. Can I tell you, every single person here tonight, you were born with a specific purpose from heaven. You were born. You may not know what that purpose is. There's a lot of people that say, I don't know what the plan of God is. But God said, I know the plans. And just because you don't know what those plans are, doesn't mean that God doesn't have one. And just because you haven't seen the purpose in which God has called you for and God has helped you and saved you for, it does not mean that God does not have a purpose. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. God's got a plan and God's got a purpose for everybody. But in this announcement, Samson's parents were given specific instructions that he was to carry the vow of Nazarite all the days of his life. The word Nazarite simply means to be consecrated or separated. There were three main requirements of a Nazarite that had to, amen, had to stay intact if you were to follow that vow. Number one, anybody who took the vow of a Nazarite was commanded to abstain from wine. Number two, they were not allowed to become ritually impure by coming in contact with dead corpses. Number three, they were to completely refrain from cutting their hair, but instead they were commanded to let the locks of their hair grow. Samson was born of God to be separate. He was born to be anointed. He was born to be different. He was born to be strong. He was born to be used of God. And can I tell somebody a little encouragement that when you are born again, not of fleshly things, not of temporal things, when you were born again of water and spirit, can I tell you, you were born again to be separate. You were born again to be different. Hallelujah. Too many people want to act like they just like everybody else. But honey, when you went down in that watery grave, you might have went down Jones, but you came up, amen, with Christ's name over your life. And you can't be like everybody else. You don't think. Oh, let's worship him all across the building. Let's give God some praise. If you're thankful that when you went down in that watery grave, amen, all things were passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You don't walk the way that you used to walk, talk the way that you used to talk, but you live for God with an authority from heaven. Let's worship him all across the building. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Thank God that we were not born again of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. Amen. Because of this vow that was placed on his life, Samson received special power from God. He received a strength that astonished everybody around him. And the Bible hints that nobody knew why he was so strong. Nobody knew why he had so much power. Even his downfall with Delilah that we don't got time to get into here tonight lets us know she didn't even know where the secret of his power came from. She even asked him, why are you so strong? Tell me. Don't hide it from me. Don't lie about it. I need to know. They couldn't seem to figure out how he had so much power. Samson performed many feats through the power of God. Just to name a few, the Bible lets us know that he ripped the gates off of an enemy wall. Amen. When you've got the power of God working in your life, it doesn't matter what the enemy sets up to stop you. You are able to walk right into that city. You're able to walk right into that thing that the enemy set up, and you can rip.
That's why the Bible says, amen, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You might have everything blocking you and stopping you, but all of a sudden, when you get the power of the Holy Ghost, when you get the power of God, all of a sudden you can walk up to the things that block you and stop you. And through the power of God, what there was no way, God makes a way. Where there was no door, He said, I am the door. God will come through if you can get the power of God. Oh, let's worship Him. I feel like there's some people, you feel like you can't move forward. Hell's stopping you. Hell's blocking you. You got to get the power of God. Oh, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. If you can get the power of God, you can walk right into your city. You can walk right into your job and begin to tear down. Oh, somebody begin to pray in the name of Jesus. We're going into our city and we're ripping down things that hell's been building up through the power of God. Oh, let's lift up our hands and let's worship the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Bible lets us know that He slew a lion with His bare hands. Amen. You're able through the power of God to stop the mouths of lions. Through the power of God, we are able to take that lying devil and we're able to just shut him up. Through the power of God, doesn't matter what comes up, the enemy that roars against you, when you get the power of God working in your life, you can come right over and you can just take him out without a weapon in your hand. But through the power of God, amen, the Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He might be roaring and he might be seeking, but through the power of God, you can say, it ain't going to be me. It's not going to be my family. It's not going to be my church. It's not going to be the call of God in my life. You can walk right over there and say, you're a young lion and you ain't taking me out now. God's got too much invested. God's gonna do so much. You can roar all you want, but I'm gonna rip you two from two. I'm gonna tear you up. Oh, somebody needs to tell hell, I'm gonna go after you. Amen. I'm gonna go after you with everything. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The Bible lets us know he slew 1,000 enemies with the jawbone of a donkey. He broke through several impossible sets of shackles through the power of God. He was able to bring down the house of Dagon. Amen. At the end of his life, the Bible lets us know that he killed more in his death than he ever did in his life through the power of an almighty God. Can I tell you, you do a lot more for God in your repentance than you ever will in your rebellion. The church can do a whole lot more for God if we can just say, Lord, just one more time, give me the strength. Amen. And we get aligned with God and we start to remember, hallelujah, it is by the power of an almighty God that gives us supernatural strength. The Bible lets us know that Samson gathered up 300 foxes and he lit their tails on fire. This is all through the power of God. Took 300 foxes, lit their tails on fire, and he sent them back into the enemy field and burned down the enemy field. Through the power of God. The Bible says in the book of Song of Solomon, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It is the little things that can come through and absolutely decimate everything that's growing in your life. And the devil would love to come into homes and just let a little thing get in there. A little root of bitterness, a little bit of lying, a little bit of cheating, just a little bit. If he can let that little bit get down into somebody's life and begin to nibble away at the root, he can begin to destroy everything that God's trying to produce in your life. But Samson got that revelation. He said, if it's a little fox that can spoil the vines, he thought to himself, what could I do if I can gather 300 of them together and light them on fire? Can I tell you what? We can light some things on fire if we can gather them together and destroy the enemy field. It might be the little things that destroy the vine, but it's enough of those little things that are gathered together that can wreak havoc on everything the enemy's growing in your life. Can I preach it this way? Can I tell you this? Amen. There's just something about gathering together. And when we begin to gather together, the Bible says that we should gather together so much the more as we see the day approaching. There's just something powerful about people of God gathering together. Oh, let's lift up our hands and let's worship Him. That's what we're doing here tonight. That's what we're doing on a Sunday night. We've gathered together. And you know what we're doing? What they did in the book of Acts chapter 2. And when they were all assembled in one place with one accord, the Holy Ghost came and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. If we can gather together and set it ablaze and then set it loose, we'll absolutely wreak havoc on hell. That's why we can't have one dead church service. That's why we can't have one dead prayer meeting. But we've got to come together and set it on fire. Oh, let's worship Him all across the building. Let's praise Him. Some people get discouraged because it doesn't happen on the first time. It doesn't happen on the first prayer meeting. It doesn't happen when you go and you pray about it. Amen. You pray about it two times, three times. Amen. But sometimes it's that 300 Fox revival where you just come and you've come and you're like Cornelius and your alms and your prayers have come up as a memorial before God. And God says, finally, I'm going to come through. Sometimes we got to do the tedious work of praying and praying again and again and again. Every time, setting ablaze and setting it loose, and God brings a victory. Oh, let's praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Somebody lift up their hands and begin to pray. It didn't happen last time. That's all right. Pray again. Fast again. Seek God again. Oh, let's lift up our hands. I feel the Holy Ghost in this building. Somebody, you got to just keep on gathering. Keep on gathering. Keep on teaching. Keep on reaching. And it might be that 300 time, but God will come through. Amen. You may be seated. He did all of this by the power of God. But how did that power come upon Him? It does not seem as if he was strong at all times. Samson seems to have moments of strength. There is no biblical reference that he went to the gym. No biblical reference that he was just, because if that was the case, everybody would know. You're strong because of your own self. But there was a point where nobody knew. Nobody could see it. There's a strength that God can give that will confound everybody around you. They just do not know how you have a smile on your face and everything in your world just turned upside down. They do not understand how you are able, amen, to continue on after you lost everything. After you've been broken, you can start over. After you've been sick and you can keep on moving and keep on worshiping and keep on praising God. Amen. You know what? That song that said, he turned my mourning into dancing. They don't understand the fact that somebody can be weeping one moment and the next moment they just say, God's been good. They don't understand those Job moments where you can say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. They don't understand that you got that kind of power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He gets a supernatural power when God moves on him. Judges 13 and 25 says the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times. Judges 14 and 19 says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Judges 15 and 14 says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. There is a supernatural power and there is a supernatural strength, amen, when God's Spirit begins to move on us. There is a super undeniable power when God's Spirit begins to move on us. Amen. But I worry, Pastor Sutton, about people that live their whole existence like Judges 13 and 25 Christians. The Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times. And I worry about people that become satisfied with it at times walk with God. And at times worship life. And when it feels good, amen, prayer life. When it's easy kind of thing. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not always easy and it's not always fun. Amen. But when you let God move on you only during certain times, the bad news about that is it only helps you during those times. It only seems to come through for you in those times when God is moving upon you. We're all good. Hallelujah. Bet you never seen anybody do that. Hallelujah. If I had the power of God, I might not have done that. Hallelujah. But there is a power and there is a strength that comes when we let God move on us. And that's why David said, I will bless the Lord at when it feels good. When I'm not sick. When I'm not broke, when I'm not tripping, at all times. Why? Because when we bless him at all times, God moves. When we bless him at all times, we got the power of God at all times. When we live for him at all times, we got the strength of heaven. Let's worship the Lord all across the building. Oh, Jesus, we praise you, God. Come on, somebody, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to just begin to bless him in the midst of it all. Bless him when it feels good, when it doesn't. Bless at all times. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt Samson, amen, was just an ordinary man. But God began to move on him at times. Thank God for those times when God moves on us. But there's a lot of people that become okay and satisfied with a visitation, amen, when they can't have a habitation. Amen. We should not become satisfied with just a once in a while, amen, move of God when it's on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday service or a Saturday prayer meeting. But honey, we need this thing on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. We need this thing all the time. We need God to move on our jobs. We need God to move in our schools. We need God everywhere. And in our text here tonight, Samson is facing off with the Philistines. And the Bible lets us know they've already got him bound up. One thing that always strikes me as odd about Samson is he seems to be locked up more times than he's free. And I know a lot of people that are crisis-oriented Christians, and the only time that they allow God to move on them is when they get in a mess and they get in a bind and they can't seem to get out. Amen. And that just seems to be the way that Samson lives his entire existence. But here's Samson. He's bound up one more time. He's locked up and he can't get free. And there's people here today, that's the exact position that you're in. Samson was somebody that through the power of God did great exploits for the kingdom of God. And here he was bound up. Can I tell you, it's possible to be locked up and still be the servant of God. It's possible to be bound up and still doing the work of God. It's possible to be locked up and be in the church, locked up and on the praise team, locked up and it is possible to have all of hell come unloose on you. Amen. Because you lose some things. And here he is. He's locked up. And this is what I love about the Bible. The Bible lets us know that he's locked up. And here comes the enemy. And the enemy begins to shout at him. I don't know about you, but if I got you tied down, I got nothing to say to you. I already won. The victory's already been won. I just love the Bible. Amen. But here they are. These are the same Philistines. They know this Samson. They know this Samson is the guy that's ripped the gates off the walls. They know this Samson that through the power of God and doing the work of God has destroyed their enemy fields and has destroyed everything that the enemies tried to build up, destroyed family members and destroyed cities and everything the Philistines have tried to do. And here they are. They got him tied up and they're shouting at him. I can only imagine what they're shouting. No doubt they're saying, remember what you did to my city? Mind you, Samson's working for God. You remember what you did when you were working for God? I'm gonna get you. You remember what you did in the work of God? I'm gonna get your family. I'm gonna get your finances. I'm gonna get everything. I'm gonna get your health. I'm gonna go after you. We're gonna gouge out your eyes. We're gonna go ahead and rip you limb from limb, just like you did to our city. We're gonna burn you with fire, just like you did, amen, to all of our fields. And all of hell begins to proclaim everything they're gonna do to Samson. And they begin to shout it. They begin to shout it right at a man that's bound up and locked up. And there's people just like that here tonight. You feel locked up and bound up, and all of hell is shouting at you and yelling at you. Amen. But can I tell you, amen, the Bible says, amen, that no weapon formed against us shall, it won't prosper. That doesn't mean they're not going to say it. That doesn't mean hell's not going to form it. That doesn't mean hell isn't going to shout it or do it. But it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work because God's got the final say. Somebody just begin to shout all across the... Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord for a minute. In the midst of hell shouting, why don't you just begin to worship the Lord? It's not going to work. Somebody tell your neighbor, it's not going to work. You may be seated. And here he is. They're shouting at Samson. He's locked up. And they're telling him everything he's going to do. That's where some people feel. You feel like you can't move forward. And all you feel like is what hell is about to do. Formulating, yelling, shouting. This is what I love about the Bible. The enemy has got him tied up, locked up, and they're shouting. But the first time I see in Samson's life, man, Judges 15 and 14, the Bible says, amen, even though they were shouting, the Spirit of the Lord began to move mightily upon Samson. There's people here tonight, you feel like all of hell has come against you in such a radical way. You feel like all of hell, you are locked up and now they're shouting at you. And it seems like all of hell has unleashed every weapon against you. I'll even come and say it to this church. All of hell has brought out the big guns against you. Amen. But can I tell you, as bad as the enemy moves, can I preach to you that God will move in a mighty... See, the enemy never worked like this before. And guess what? God had never worked like that before. And as much as hell was fighting, all of a sudden, God came through in a mighty way. Does anybody need God to move in a mighty, not mediocre? I need God to move in a mighty way. Hell's coming loose, but heaven is too. Somebody just begin to worship the Lord. Oh, let's worship God. Let's worship God. God's about to move mightily in some people's lives. God's about to move mightily. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. God moved mightily on Samson, but he was still locked up. And those shackles weren't going anywhere. The devil was yelling, and God was moving mightily. And Samson would have stayed locked up. That's because you got to move when God moves. because the bands that were on his hand became his flax. But he still would have had that mentality that I'm tied up and I can't get loose. But when God began to move on Samson, Samson began to move too. And when God moves on you mightily and you don't know how everything's going to work out, when God moves mightily, the best thing that you can do is just do what you can and begin to move. And when you move as God moves, the things that held you back and held you down can't hold you anymore. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Somebody just begin to move. Do what you can. Do what you can. Do what you can. And watch God do what you can't. Do what you can. And watch God do what you could never do. Oh, let's worship him for a moment. Come on, somebody. This is your moment. This is your moment. You could get free. Just begin to do what you can. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. And God is the truth. God is the truth. And if he's moving, I'm moving with him. If God's doing something, I want to do it with him. You may be seated. We're almost done, I promise. God began to move on Samson mightily. And he moved. And he got free. And this is where most of us would stop. We get our victory. We got our deliverance. All of a sudden, hell is not able to hold us back. And we stop. We're free, but we're not moving. Not bound up, but not really doing anything either. But that's not what Samson did. Samson got free, and he started scanning for a weapon. See, it's not enough just to get free and just to come to church on Sunday night and get liberated. Somewhere along the lines, you got to get out of the defensive mode and you got to start looking. Where is my weapon? Where is my weapon? You got to begin to look around and say, where is the weapon that I can take up and begin to fight back? The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody, you got to look for the weapon. You got to look for the weapon so you can fight against every attack of the enemy. Would we lift up our hands for a moment? Just begin to pray. Come on, somebody. It's time for somebody to go on the offensive. Go on the offensive. Don't wait to be locked up again. Go on the offensive and say never again. Never again. Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Where's that weapon, Lord? Where's that weapon of prayer? Where's that weapon of fasting? Where's that Bible? Where's that Bible study? Where's that door? Where's that flyer? Hell, you mess with me too much. I'm going to look for a weapon. Oh, let's praise him all across the building. Jesus. You may be seated. And this is what I've come to preach here tonight. Samson, through the power of God, gets free and grabs a weapon. And he takes this weapon and begins to lay out the enemy. Amen. Nothing like a little redemptive revenge. Hell's been messing in your life, and you go find some crackheads and go teach them a Bible study. Hell's been messing with you, and you don't back into a corner, but instead you say, you know what, hell, I'm going to wreak havoc on your life. I'm tired of you taking my family down. I'm going to go find somebody else's family. I'll preach it to myself. Devil, I'm tired of you going after the Hood family. I'm about ready to go find me the Jones family. I'm about ready to find the Johnson family. I'm tired of you being on the offensive and we're on the defensive. I'm a fight back. And here he is. He begins to lay them out. And thank God for people that got that kind of tenacity.
You may be seated. One by one. See, you don't always defeat the devil in masses. You can just, it's a little prayer here, a little prayer there, a little fasting here, a little fasting there. And you just keep taking your swings, and you keep on fighting. Amen. It doesn't always seem like you're doing a whole lot. Amen. That was the problem Moses had. Moses thought he was going to be the deliverer, and he killed one Egyptian. And God was saying, no, I never called you to kill one Egyptian at a time. I called you to take them into the Red Sea and obliterate them all at once. But sometimes it happens like that. Sometimes you are one by one. You're just doing what you can. And here he is. He lays them out. And he gets done. And finally, the trial is over. And the trouble's over. And Samson does what most of us do. He takes that weapon that God had empowered to bring him victory. And he throws it away. And then he looks up to God and says, I'm thirsty. I fought my guts out, but I'm thirsty. I worked my guts out, but I'm thirsty. I taught my guts out, preached my guts out, sang my guts out, but now I'm thirsty! And shall I die for thirst? And there are people here tonight, you have worked for God. You've worked for God faithfully, served God, fought in God's army, and finally, here you are. You're sitting here. You got the victory. Things are not as heated as the battle once was, and here you are. You're at a place where you're absolutely exhausted. And I've come to preach to this church right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's just people here today. You fought and you fought and you fought. And here it looks like you're going to die not because of the battle, but because of the heat of the battle. You're not going to die because of another sword. You're going to die because of the fact that you worked and you prayed and you served. And now you're thirsty. People I don't believe in church are evil. I believe that sometimes we just get thirsty. The Bible lets us know that one of the tactics of the enemy in the last days is he will try to wear out the saints of the Most High God. And if I've ever seen an hour where all of hell is breaking loose and trying to wear people out, it is now. Coming against dads, coming against moms, coming against preachers, coming against leaders, coming against people that are good, godly people and serving God. I got too many stories of people that built our church back home and I don't know where they're at. And they just said, I just got tired. Because Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. I wonder if we could pray all across the building. Come on, let's pray. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the power of God sweeping on people that are worn out and that are thirsty, and people, amen, that are not evil, not terrible people, not bad people. You're just thirsty and worn out from the battle. Oh, Jesus. God, touch New Life of Birmingham in the name of Jesus to be not weary in well-doing. Touch New Life in the name of Jesus to not get weary when they're reaching out, to not get weary when they're working on the building, to not get weary when they're coming to prayer, not get weary when they haven't seen all the prophecies answered. Not get weary in well-doing. Oh, Jesus. Let's stand all across the bow. I'm done. Samson looks to heaven and says, I'm thirsty. I did all the work for God. I served. I prayed. I preached. I taught. I sang. I built. And I'm worn out. And God, you're going to let me die here? all these years going, let me die right here. I'm reaching for somebody. I'm not reaching for evil people. I'm reaching for good people. Amen. I've just seen this happen too much back home. I've come to preach to somebody. Hallelujah. Singing in the choir, but you're worn out. And here he is. God says, you're forgetting something. And the Bible says he picked up the jawbone. I'm going to give somebody their answer to feeling worn out. Instead of throwing away the weapon that got you victory, go pick it back up. If prayer got you this far, don't throw away your prayer life. If worship got you this far, don't throw away your worship life. If coming to church got you saved, don't stop. Somebody has got to pick it up. Pick it back up. Pick it back up. Pick it back up. Because Samson, what you need is in what you already have. Saint of God, what you need is already in what you have. You don't need a psychologist. You got the mighty counselor. You don't need a fancier way. The old ways work just fine. That prayer meeting that got you off crack is the same thing that'll get you when you feel worn out. That same Bible that you studied is the same. The weapon becomes a well. The weapon becomes a well. And there's people you'll feel worn out. But this altar is also... oh, well, the Bible says he took that jawbone and he began to drink because God clave a hollow place that was already in the jaw, and he revived. What got us victory will bring us revival. I wonder if we can lift our hands and let's pray. I'm done preaching. There are people here today that you feel absolutely worn out, and it's not for sin or doing wrong. It's for well-doing. And I want you to come out from where you are. Could you come up here to the front? I've come to tell you, the times of refreshing, the Bible said, come from the presence of the Lord. Adam, don't hide from the presence of the Lord. It's the place where you can get revived. As they begin to sing, I feel the Holy Ghost. There are people here today, you feel like you're on your last string and it's about to be cut. I'm going to tell you, amen, you can come into this altar and God can begin to revive you. You can come into this altar and God can begin to refresh you. He can give victory to those that are bound up by sin and by this world. And he can give refreshment. He's the God that said, I am that I am. Whatever you need, if you need bread, I am the bread. If you need water, I am the living water. Whatever you need, he said, I'll be it all. Come on, let's pray, church. Come on. Come on. Don't throw away the weapon. It becomes a well. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Come on. I feel the Holy Ghost moving on some people. Come on. In the name of Jesus, right now, God, refresh me. God, revive me. Because the next leg of the journey. Come on, Jonathan. You need to find some honey. Because the next battle is going to be fierce. But you can be revived. Come on, saint of God. Come on. You lived for God a long time. Come on, 30 years is too long. Amen. To throw away at the moment where you feel thirsty. Come on. It's too important to throw away this walk with God and that ministry and that anointing. Pick it up. I'm with hope.
Oh.